Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, in less than 30 minutes. And by the way, we got a lot to get into with Trevor. Very interesting Saturday. You know, it's crazy. We've been doing Titans Monday, you know, for 6 years or however long it's been. And it's almost like everything happens on Saturday. You spend all day watching college football, a day like this past Saturday.
Upset City.
Oh, my. I mean, Alabama should have lost.
Yeah.
And you spend all day watching it, and then you have Sunday happen, and then you almost ignore Saturday because everybody's focus was on the Titan game the day before. And I used to always feel like I got all of that out because before the pregame shows would start, me, Floyd, Chris, D-Mace, you know, Fitz did it with us sometimes.
We just unpack a little bit.
Oh, man, we'd sit there. We'd get there, you know, an hour before the show. Or, you know, 45 minutes before the show. And we'd be sitting there just talking college football. Like, can you believe, like, me and Chris Andrews, I said to Chris, you know, Chris is probably going to get mad at me tomorrow. But I said, Chris, I go, Ohio State sucks. Like, I'm like, you guys almost lost to Tulsa.
He's what like, did he say to that?
Oh, he was like, we're terrible. I mean, you know, you got a high standard there. Time now for Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Headlines with Caroline, presented by Fiero Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the brave. Ian, did we catch you off guard there, or
just a tad? Yes.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Ian.
That's okay.
I'm not sorry about it. You said something about it last break,
and I just wasn't ready for my page.
When I was sitting there, I was like,
busy man.
And I was wondering if we screwed something up. I was like, what did we do wrong? No, Ian's the best. Okay, what do we have?
So if you are a bettor and you put in some NFL futures, could be shifting a little bit. So Patrick Mahomes entered the season as an NFL MVP favorite at plus 600. That has not changed. He is still the favorite for NFL MVP. He's at plus 600. But there is a certain quarterback who is closing in as the favorite.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Kyler Murray.
It is Kyler Murray. Going into the season, he was plus 900, and it has shifted to plus 650. Tom Brady is at plus 700. So Kyler Murray currently has better odds. Sorry, it's not better odds, but higher odds to win the NFL MVP than Tom Brady.
So remember what we asked on the Friday before the start of the season? Could Kyler be the breakout quarterback this year?
Uh-huh.
Look, they're a Greg Joseph field goal away from being 1-1 and having lost to the Vikings at home. Mm-hmm. And I think the Vikings stink. So this is why I always say, like, hey, don't get too caught up in September football. But Kyler does have one element to him, and that is that nobody was expecting him to win the MVP. And so if it comes down to, you know, Mahomes, Brady, Lamar, Aaron, and some guy that we thought was a schlub going into the year,
the schlub
is always going to win.
Because it's boring to have Brady, Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers every year. It's boring for Nick Saban
to be the coach of the year in the SEC every year. When we know that for the most part over the last decade, Nick Saban has been the coach of the year probably 8 or 9
times. It's really whoever was second place wins the award.
Yes. And I lived that when I worked in women's basketball because we were in the Big East and mm-hmm. Gino Auriemma was there and should have been coach of the year every year.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. You know, like 1 year, Harry, and I forget his last name, he's a great guy. Harry at Villanova won, you know, coach of the year. And, I mean, we went in and we killed him. And Villanova wasn't even that good. But they were terrible the year before. They made the NCAA tournament. So he got coach of the year
and not
Gino.
It's really about the storyline. Because it's, okay, this kid coming in, it's a third year in the NFL, you know, hasn't really done much in the postseason. Now, you know, whatever it may turn into, come to fruition with the Cardinals. Cardinals' odds to win the Super Bowl actually have shifted as well, from plus 3,000 to plus 2,500.
We taking the cheese in the Cardinals?
No. Ian? I'm not quite there yet.
That's a tough one. That division is so hard. I'm leaning that way, yeah.
I'll say this. They did kick the Titans' ass. I mean, they did.
But Kyler's going to have to stay healthy, which is a big question mark.
Kyler's going to have to stay healthy.
They have
Chandler Jones.
They have a badass receiving core, too.
It's a lot. What's next?
So the Bucs are currently in the market after their starting corner, Sean Murphy Bunting, injured indefinitely after he suffered a dislocated right elbow on Sunday, which that sounds horrible. That sounds absolutely terrifying. However, the Bucs have been shopping around to fill in his spot as in the corner role. You know who they're currently looking at?
They can't look at Malcolm Butler because he's retired.
No.
Okay. Who did the Titans recently cut that we think stinks? Oh, no. I heard Richard Sherman. I saw his
Richard Sherman. They reached out to Richard Sherman to gauge his interest in coming in and filling in the role with the Bucs. And Bruce Arians said, we got to see. He's got other things going on, too. Just a matter of...
He does have other things going on.
What does he have going on?
Didn't he get arrested?
Wasn't it like a domestic abuse something where he was like broke into his in-laws' house?
Those are situations that you have to deal with.
Yeah, yes, that is fair. But yeah, so they're gauging the interest of Richard Sherman, so could possibly see him with the Bucs.
I think they run that kind of, you know, Tampa 2 kind of defense, and it's fine.
It's just a whole lot of personality on one team.
Yeah, but when you've got the alpha, doesn't matter.
That's true.
You can bring
runs the ship.
You can bring... Jim Stack was the assistant general manager of the Bulls in the 90s, and they needed to replace Horace Grant. And he went to Jerry Krause and said, hey, what about Rodman? And Krause was like, no. And they discussed it, and he thought that because Jordan and Pippen could get Rodman on the train tracks, it would have worked. And so they ended up getting Rodman, and that's, you know, kind of how – and I think Sherman's the same way. Antonio Brown is the same way, and Dominican Sue has kind of a little bit of a history behind him. I think it's kind of like, hey, when Brady's there – everybody hushes.
Like, I don't think Jared Goff is necessarily, or Andy Dalton, the leader of a team with a lot of personality.
Can I say something about Jared Goff last night? And Jared Goff was fine last night. He wasn't awful. He wasn't good. He was fine. Everybody thinks he stinks. And everybody thinks Carson Wentz deserves, like, some magic second chance. And I don't understand where we got this from. Like, they were in the same draft class. Goff got to a Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Goff got the contract. Everybody thought Goff was the hot... I mean, they thought that the two great quarterbacks from the next era were Mahomes and Goff. And now everybody's out on Goff. And nobody's out on Wentz. And I don't understand how, in the national media, they're like that.
I go back to, Carson Wentz had that year where he was just an absolute standout.
So did Goff.
Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl, yes, but could Jared Goff get to a Super Bowl without Sean McVay and Todd Gurley?
Dude, Jared Goff scored like 50 points in that Monday night game against the Chiefs. I mean, he out-dueled Mahomes in a Monday night must-watch Chiefs-Rams game. And, can he do it without McVay and Gurley? I don't think McVay can do it without Gurley. I don't think Gurley can do it without them. I mean, I think it's kind of one of those... You need them all.
But I think, too, is it
but
because
But can Carson Wentz do it without Doug Peterson? Because he hates Doug Peterson now.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it's also, too, like, is there an element there that Jared Goff is now in Detroit and that kind of feels like a place where people's careers go to die?
I do think it's because of the way in which he was dumped.
Yes.
That if people have... But I don't know. I just always feel like people just don't like Jared Goff. What's next?
So the 49ers running back room is starting to mirror Baltimore's running back room a little bit because they had three starting running backs go down on Sunday in the matter of like 5 minutes. So Jamichael Hasty has a high ankle sprain, so you can expect to see him out for quite some time. Trey Sermon, he's a rookie. He has a concussion, so he will be in concussion protocol. And also Elijah Mitchell, who is day-to-day with a shoulder injury, all went down on Sunday. So now the team will be bringing in free agent running backs TJ Yeldon, Duke Johnson, and Lamar Miller for workouts. But, I mean, if you are a running back on waivers, this is your year. This is absolutely your year because, unfortunately, it feels like running backs are dropping like flies.
Yeah, I'd call some of these teams up and ask them if Darrington Evans ever gets healthy, if they'd like to have them. Because, I mean, Darrington Evans, what's he? What's next?
Another NFL injury update. This time on the Steelers side, Ben Roethlisberger is added to their list of injured players. Mike Tomlin said he's been dealing with a left pec injury. Doesn't know exactly how it happened because Ben Roethlisberger took just 2 sacks against the Raiders on Sunday. He was hit 10 times. But Mike Tomlin said, I know it's just 2 sacks and he was hit 10 times, but that's a lot for a 39-year-old quarterback who's been in the league for a while. So able to monitor that. And I think I go back to like a lot of the conversation that we had about Ben Roethlisberger was that a reason why I wasn't very high in the Steelers this year was because of Ben Roethlisberger's age. And people say, okay, well, he's been doing this for a long time. You know, who cares how old he is? Tom Brady's older. But I think this is just kind of an example of this is exactly why it's an issue to have a 39-year-old quarterback who has been in the league for such a long time that things that wouldn't affect a younger quarterback may leave him out on Sunday.
Ian, you know why I don't like Ben?
Why is that?
Too old, too hurt, too expensive?
Too old, too hurt, too fat.
That he is.
Brady
That's okay.
Brady is firing BBs at 44 years old.
It's just a little extra cushion, which didn't really help him out here.
Brady's not old? Well, I mean, Brady's old.
Brady's old. Brady's not fat.
Brady's not fat. He's not injured.
And he is expensive, but he's allowed to be.
But I don't care about the expensive part. Every quarterback's expensive. Ben cut his contract because he was too expensive. Mm. I'm not worried about that. I'll pay a quarterback whatever. But Patrick Mahomes is not too old, too fat, too injured. You know, you can't be Aaron Rodgers' old.
He's not fat.
He's not injured.
That's true.
You know, you can't have a quarterback. Ben's too old, too fat, too injured. 615-737-1025. A Headlines with Caroline presented by Fiero Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the Brave. And by the way, it's okay to call somebody fat in sports. It's not like you're going to the mall and pointing at someone saying, hey, you're fat. Right. Like, it's not like doing that. Like, when someone's, like, looking at clothes at a Dillard's.
Well, I mean, it's public knowledge.
Hey, you're fat. It's not like that.
You can look at his weight online. It's public knowledge.
Well, yeah, but they lie about that.
Well, but still, I mean, we have eyes.
I used to look at the Braves programs, and they said that John Smoltz would weigh more than Brian McCann. And I was like, that's just not possible.
But we do not body shame on this show.
No, but it's sports. So being fat actually matters for what you're trying to do.
That's like the Preds roster saying that Rocco Grimaldi is like 5'10".
Yeah.
Rocco Grimaldi is not 5'10".
And the fact that he's short is a problem when it comes to you being as good of a player as the fans want you to be. So I think you got to get over that. I think there's a part of you that doesn't want to. Maybe it was at ESPN. They're like, hey, don't call anybody fat.
Well, I don't have a problem saying that a quarterback is overweight and that is, like, that's his issue there, that he's just simply not as athletic as he used to be.
Just too fat.
Well, that's essentially what I'm saying. Ben Roethlisberger's fat, and it's probably going to be an okay. issue.
All right. But I felt like when I said that Ben was fat, you looked at me like,
no, because he is.
That's why I said it.
But I'm just saying, we don't body shame on this show.
But he's too fat.
If he wants to look like, you know, Tim Allen and his little transition into Santa Claus, mid-transition into Santa Claus, he can look like that if he wants.
Go back to Michael Jordan. Look at Michael Jordan now. Michael's not fat.
He's chunky.
But Michael has definitely put on some weight. But guess what? I don't care because Michael doesn't play basketball anymore, so it has no effect. But
if Michael got fat, he can be thick if he wants to be thick.
Right, but like Charles Barkley, when he got fat when he played, it's like, you need to lose some weight, Chuck. Like that Shaq. Shaq's way fatter. I read an article the other day that said that Shaq, it was like Shaq's diet is like a protein shake in the morning followed by his two-hour workout followed by grilled chicken followed by a Caesar salad.
That is such a lie.
Followed by baked chicken or fish for dinner.
That is such a lie.
Crap.
Maybe chicken from Popeyes for dinner, maybe, which I do love me some Popeyes, but that is such a lie.
I think it's baked, though. They don't bake things at Popeyes. It said baked in the Shaq thing.
I'm sure things say a lot of things.
Right. Like
There's never been anything on the internet that's not true.
I believe Shaq eats like he did when he played basketball. And Shaq is not 30 anymore, and Shaq does not play basketball.
And that's fine, because he doesn't play basketball anymore.
Right, so we're not going to talk about how fat Shaq is, because it doesn't affect his play. But when it comes to sports, you're allowed to talk about someone's fat, because it does affect the game. Like when Kobe would get mad because Shaq was lazy during the summer and get fat, I understand why Kobe would get mad about that.
Well, yeah, because it affects his team.
I'm just saying. 615-737-1025, college football, a wild Saturday. And why, as somebody who dumped on this college football season, I'm ready to take it back. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell you about Silly Underdog Picks. That's right. Silly Underdog Picks is back. So get in and make your bets. Just take three underdog teams you think will win before the week of college football begins. Silly Underdog Picks. You can win prizes. You can do it at thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville app. And Silly Underdog Picks is brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company, Trevor Maddich in less than 10 minutes here on the program. Again, our streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, every single day. Just search Stillman and Company on YouTube. You just pull it up on your TV, put in Stillman and Company. Bang, we're right there on your television. It's presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. So Saturday, like, here's how I got to approach college football. And you know it's crazy, and Caroline thinks I'm not a college football fan. But here's how I approach Saturday. I have to take two games. That's all I got. Two games.
Two games?
That's all I can do in one day.
Lame.
I have to do a pregame show the next day, and then I watch NFL football all day, and I spend literally 22 hours a week on the radio. That is an entire day of my life in a week.
Do you spend the rest of your time at the Walgreens?
I do love Walgreens. God, I love Walgreens. But there's got to be like a little time, and that is I try to find. So I take like one or two games Saturday, and I'm like, okay, these are the games. Now, I guess what I mean is one or two time slots.
Okay, that's
so
fair.
Like,
switch
I can't
around.
I can't watch a game at noon, watch a game at 2, watch a game at 5 or 6 or whenever that game comes on, then watch the late game, and it's like Pac-12 after. I can't do that.
Right.
So I'm watching 2:30 every time. And then, you know, if there's a good noon game on, I'll watch that, or if there's a good night game, I'll watch it. So on Saturday, I watched Alabama-Florida, and I thought this was just going to be a blowout.
I did too.
I thought this was going to be a housing. I thought Alabama was going to kill them. And I'll be surprised that, like, if it wasn't for Nick Saban luckily having his right tackle jump and kicking a field goal when they should have to put themselves up 8 as opposed to going for it up 5, there's a legitimate chance that Florida wins that game. A legitimate chance. And not only that, Florida just ran the ball right up the middle on them. And they had no answer for it, which is the antithesis of what I'm used to seeing out of Nick Saban. Clemson, and I didn't watch this game, but they barely beat Georgia Tech. Ohio State, and I flipped back and forth a little bit when I was watching the Bama game, but Ohio State should never be in a dogfight with 0-2 Tulsa, who lost to UC Davis. Now, 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we sat up here and I said, look, is this going to be just a boring college football season where it's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and that's it? Oklahoma, by the way, almost lost to Nebraska this week. Or at least it was a lot closer than people thought
it was.
It was
a lot closer than I thought.
And it was a lot closer against Tulane than people thought it was going to be.
In the beginning.
No, that game went right down to the wire.
61-21?
The Tulane.
Tulane, Oklahoma. I thought you meant the Ole Miss Tulane.
No, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma was
by the
way
skin of their
closer
rear end
than it needed to be.
Yes. I mean, I think it's wide open in college football this year. Georgia, for example, looks like a team that is poised that could perhaps compete to get to the playoff even if they lose to Alabama. But now could they beat Alabama after what we saw at Alabama? I don't know. Can Georgia score an offensive touchdown against a good team? Can Georgia pass the ball? I know what they did to South Carolina. I ain't worried about that. I mean, I'm looking at this
so
college
against
football
UAB,
season.
But
let me say this.
Not against Clemson.
The Pac-12 is totally in play this year, whether it's Oregon or somebody else. The Pac-12 is totally in play this year. The Big Ten is a mess because I don't think that Ohio State has any team that's going to challenge them in that conference or beat them in that conference. And yet I don't think Ohio State's very good. I think it's a mess. They want to fire Kerry Combs right now, the defensive coordinator that used to be here with the Titans. They want to fire him today. The ACC is the worst I can ever remember it. Ever since there became 5 conferences as opposed to 6, it's the worst Power 5 conference I can remember. The worst single conference what the ACC is right now. And Alabama does not look invincible. So you try to handicap what this season's looking like because I am having a hard time thinking, like, wow, like, who's actually good this year?
I hear you 100% because Ohio State already has a loss on their record. Clemson loses week one, and they don't look like this dominant Clemson offensive powerhouse that we've seen in the past. Alabama should not have only won by 2 points.
Like that Georgia Tech team that Clemson beat by a touchdown?
They're awful.
Awful.
Awful. So I hear you because it doesn't look like things have looked in the past. But I still think that Ohio State makes it to the college football playoff.
Okay, give me four teams right now.
Alabama, and in no particular order. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and I think I might have to take Clemson out of it because they lose to Georgia. They haven't had any other convincing wins, and I don't think that any other win over another ACC team is going to sway the committee enough to say, okay, Clemson has proved to be a championship team. I don't know. I don't know.
Oklahoma?
Maybe.
Iowa?
No, not Iowa. Maybe Oklahoma. But I mean, those four teams, Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgia, Ohio State. I mean, yeah, Georgia in there is not a typical, you'd usually expect to see Clemson in there. But like, that's kind of what it's looked like the past 5 years.
Trevor Maddich joins us next. I'm going to put him up to the same question. I think this is the most open it's ever been. And I think Ohio State's going to lose another game. I really do. I am not a believer in the Buckeyes. That team stinks. And I told y'all, Larry Coker.
Yeah, they don't look great.
Remember Larry Coker. Larry Coker, national championship, first year undefeated at Miami after taking over for Butch Davis. The next year, goes to the national title game, loses to Ohio State. Never good again. Ryan Day, 2 years with Urban's. Oh, Ryan Day. We'll see.
But I still think they win the Big Ten. And if you win the Big Ten, you're not going to be out of the college football playoff.
You might be. Maybe not because the ACC is a mess. But we'll get into that with Trevor Maddich next. Hey, the NFL is back and FanDuel Sportsbook, my official sportsbook app, wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. For example, this week, a parlay, Derrick Henry rushing yards, bet the over there. Ryan Tannehill passing yards, maybe Carson Wentz passing yards will be on there. We'll see. But those are all available bets. I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app because there's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay. So lock in your bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook app and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel? Also claim your 3-to-1 odds on either team in the Dallas-Philadelphia game on Monday night. Just sign up with the promo code JGM. Just again, promo code JGM. 21 and older and present Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. So I can't get to four teams. You know, this is like Sesame Street, and I can't wear one college football team, two college football. I can't do it. How am I supposed to get to four? I know Georgia and Alabama are probably going to have to play each other. So what do I do there? I don't know. Alabama almost got beat by Florida, which we'll get into in a second with Trevor Maddich. Ohio State looks like a mess. Clemson's a mess. Who knows? Trevor Maddich joins us, ESPN college football analyst. Trevor, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trev, I have complained for years about how college football felt like three teams and everybody else. And this year, I think it is wide open. Ohio State loses last week. They barely hang around with Tulsa. Clemson's already lost. They were in a dogfight with an awful Georgia Tech team. And I think Florida gave Alabama a run for their money on Saturday. What do we make of the top of the season right now?
Yeah, you're right, Jared. I mean, it's a complete jumble at this point, and that makes it exciting. Last year, the four playoff teams brought in either returning starters at quarterback or, in the case of Alabama, Mac Jones, who has started a few games at the end of the season because Tua was hurt. So they had experienced quarterbacks. This year, all four of those playoff teams from last year had to break in new starting quarterbacks, and because of that and other things, all four of those teams have huge question marks. Alabama, the question mark is not because of the quarterback, it's because of everything else. And so they still have a bunch of question marks. So you are right. Right now, this thing is wide open. And my number one team this year, or excuse me, this week, coming out of last week's games is Penn State. I got Alabama at 5.
What?
Okay.
Trevor, I love you. And I think Alabama did some very un-Saban-like things on Saturday. And I thought Saban did some very un-Saban-like things Saturday. But, come on, Penn State, Auburn probably should have won the game on the road. Mike Bobo, a terrible play call at the end of the game. But Penn State, you put Penn State and Alabama on a neutral field, Alabama's going to win that game.
You sure?
Yes.
The thing about Alabama.
Why are you not sure?
I am not sure because I have not seen Alabama's running game or their defense play at a conference championship level, much less a national championship level. So the passing game, they're hanging their hat on the arm of a freshman quarterback, Bryce Young, and he's been able to carry them, right? But when things got really tough against Florida, they couldn't run the ball, although they did, to give them credit, they did make some plays on the ground late to keep some drives alive on the ground. So that's good. But overall, you look at that Florida game, which was the first real game they played somebody that could really beat them, right? And their running game was 3.5 yards per carry. Against Miami, it was still not 4. And their two games against FBS opponents, Alabama's running game has not cracked 4 yards per carry. Their defense against Florida was shoved around. I mean, hard. Florida had well over 200 yards rushing, and they could do whatever they wanted on the ground, even though their passing game, although it was effective in the second half, it wasn't that big of a threat. And yet, Alabama couldn't stop Florida's running game. And that concerns me. Now, I get it that Alabama has injuries. You know, Christian Allen at linebacker's out. Will Anderson, linebacker, was playing injured. You know, he was banged up. So I get that part. But still, this Alabama team from last week, I don't see as a top four team. I see him at 5. I see him maybe at 4. But they have too many questions in the running game and the defense for me to say, yeah, Alabama, they are a lock.
But you would say Penn State's better than Georgia?
Oh, not Georgia, no.
Because
I take it back. Yes, yes. In terms of Georgia, I would have 1A and 1B. It was really hard for me to separate number 1 Penn State, number 2 Georgia coming out of this week. And what really makes the difference for me is that Penn State has beaten 2 teams that are currently ranked. And Georgia's beaten 1. And that one team is Clemson, whose offense is just stuck in a rut that we haven't seen for a long, long time. They can't move the ball on the ground or through the air. And so, you know, so I give Georgia credit for winning that game. Clemson's defense is still one of the best in the country. But at the same time, if I have to differentiate, I'm going to differentiate by saying, okay, Auburn has 2 wins against teams that are currently ranked. Georgia has 1. I could flip those 2 and not have a problem. But I've got Penn State at number 1 right now.
Trevor, what bothers me about Alabama, and you kind of alluded to this, but it feels like a very un-Nick Saban-like team. You know, Florida just ran the ball right up the middle on Alabama, which is absolutely a no-no on any Nick Saban defense. Alabama does not run the ball particularly well, which is a hallmark of what Nick Saban wants to do offensively, and they are relying on a young quarterback with good receivers to get them through this. That doesn't seem very Saban-like, and there was a moment on Saturday that really bothered me, and I'm a Nick Saban fan, and I consider Nick Saban a friend, and this moment just truly bothered me when they were up 5 going for it on a 4th and short by the goal line, and I couldn't believe it because I'm like, this is Nick Saban. Like, go up 8. What are you doing? Go up 8 in the 4th quarter. Put your defense back on the field. And Saban wanting to go for it before the false start told me he doesn't trust his defense. And Nick Saban never does that. And so this doesn't seem like a typical Nick Saban Alabama team, Trev.
Jared, that's the exact same thing that I thought. That if he trusted his defense, they would have taken the points and put the defense back on the field. He felt that he needed the extra 4 in order to have a chance to win. And the thing is, that's not easily fixable mid-season. You know, getting guys healthy, that's good. You know, getting guys in the right place, doing the right thing, yeah, but they made mental errors on defense, but it wasn't like Ohio State's mental errors, for goodness sake. But the running game, I don't know how they get that better either midseason. You know, the blocking is okay. It's not great. The running backs are really good on paper, but they're not hitting the holes the way they need to. And so you're right, it's not a Nick Saban team. And I'll tell you this, a lot of people thought that Florida made a bad choice, bad play call at the very end on the two-point conversion that they wanted to tie the game with to send it into overtime. They ran the ball right up the middle, and they got stuffed. And I thought it was a great call for what you said, Jared, that Alabama had not stopped them all game long. And Alabama's defense was on its heels at that moment. Florida called another run right up the middle. The reason it didn't work was miscommunication. Florida's quarterback put the ball in the belly of the running back, Emory Jones, quarterback, and then he tried to pull it out. And the running back thought he was supposed to keep it, so he kept clamped down. And they were pulling against each other, and the running back wasn't able to hit the hole hard, and that's why they got stuffed. Otherwise, they might have tied it and sent it to overtime. This is an Alabama team that normally when they lose to a team like an Ole Miss that throws the ball all over the field, or they lose to Johnny Manziel, who's a all-timer of a quarterback that they can't catch, that kind of a thing. This time, they almost lost to Florida because they got pushed around.
Yep. Trevor Maddich with us. Two Ohio teams. Cincinnati, bad first half against Indiana, but dominates the second half. And with a wide open, you know, top of college football, I do wonder if Cincinnati could get their way into the discussion. And the other one being Ohio State, and just in a dogfight with Tulsa in the fourth quarter, a terrible 0-2 Tulsa team that had lost to UC Davis. I mean, I think Ohio State is in some real trouble, Trev. What do you think of Cincinnati and Ohio State?
I think Cincinnati is what I thought they were. And you're right, they struggled in the first half at Indiana, but then they fought their way back out. And they did it the way that Cincinnati does it. The quarterback, Desmond Ridder, started making more plays down the field with his arm and then making critical plays running. And then the defense kind of clamped down a whole lot better. And so that's Cincinnati. They have a bye this week, and then they're at Notre Dame. Notre Dame plays Wisconsin this week. Keep in mind that Notre Dame barely survived against Florida State, barely survived against Toledo, and then had a real fight against Purdue. Mm-hmm. Now they got to play Wisconsin, and then here comes a rested Cincinnati team. So Cincinnati, they've got a pretty good chance in that game in South Bend. And you're right that the shakeup at the top, the teams at the top that seem to have flaws that might have been unexpected, opened the door for Cincinnati maybe to, if they went out, to be able to get up there, and Cincinnati's good enough to win out. But Ohio State, Jared, Ohio State, I said on SportsCenter last week that their defense was the grand marshal in the parade of missed assignments and mental errors. They were all over the place doing the wrong thing. Now, again, I get it. They have new starting linebackers, a bunch of young guys playing in the secondary because of injury, but they are the kings of self-inflicted problems on their defense. It was the offense against Tulsa that really surprised me, because the offense put up over 600 yards the week before against Oregon in a loss. Against Tulsa, the offense couldn't bust the grape. Now we find out that T.J. Stroud, the quarterback, was playing at least part of that game with an injured throwing shoulder, and the passing game was going nowhere. I was saying in the third quarter of that game early that in the third quarter that they should stop trying to throw the ball and just run it every time, because Trevion Henderson was unstoppable on the ground. The passing game was going nowhere, and the game was a 7-point game with about 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Tulsa was within 7 of Ohio State with about 3 minutes to go in the game. And Ohio State scored an offensive and then a defensive touchdown, so the score looked better than the game looked. But I'll tell you, the Buckeyes right now, I don't know that they're going to be even second in the Big Ten East if they don't get a whole lot better on both sides of the ball.
Trevor Maddich with us, ESPN college football analyst. On the other side, I want to know who Trevor thinks the four best teams in the country are. Not four teams he thinks are going to get to the playoff today, just right now, the four best. We'll do that next. Plus, the Vols go to Florida. Did Florida show us on Saturday against Alabama that the Vols have no chance, or perhaps, maybe, with Emory Jones at quarterback? Could the Vols pull a shocking upset? We'll get Trevor's thoughts on that coming up next. Trevor Maddich is presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, delivered by TriStar Moving and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Trevor Maddich is with us, as always. Trevor, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. So, Ohio State, even Trevor admits, hey, look, he's a little worried about Ohio State. And Clemson doesn't look like Clemson. Now, Georgia's playing pretty well, and Alabama did sneak out of a win in the Swamp. But, Trev, you said Penn State, right, you think is your number one team right now, Penn State and Georgia. Who are your four best teams in college football, and why?
If you say best, just who wins on the field right
yes.
now?
Yes.
I would put, instead of Penn State 1 and Georgia 2, which I give Penn State the nod because of two ranked wins, I would put Georgia 1 and Penn State 2. Oregon 3, Iowa 4, Cincinnati 5.
Ooh.
And Cincinnati and Iowa are neck and neck to me. They're neck and neck. And really, I can make a good case to put Cincinnati ahead of Iowa because Cincinnati is more dynamic at quarterback. So let's just go ahead and do that. Alabama, I am so worried. If I said Team X to you, Jarrett, if I said Team X has a really good freshman quarterback, a good passing game, but they're average running the ball and they struggle to stop the run against good teams, would you be confident that Team X would be one you'd want to hang your hat on?
I would not, but if I knew they had the greatest coach ever, then I might be willing to reconsider.
Okay, well, there you go. So the thing is, I'm not saying that I think Alabama isn't going to end up being the best team in the country or winning the national championship. I'm saying looking at them right now and comparing them and their flaws that they need to fix with other teams' flaws that they need to fix, I have more confidence in other teams than I do in Bama right now. Now, in fairness, Alabama went to the 11th-ranked team at the time, Florida, on the road, and ended up winning. They beat Florida, even though they had injuries at linebacker and a freshman quarterback. So you can make the case that this Florida loss was not a bad thing, this Florida win was really good, and they should get tons of credit for it. And they do get tons of credit for it, but Florida's not the best defense in the country. It's good. It's okay. Florida's not the best offense in the country because their passing attack still is a real work in progress. And then go back to forget Mercer because they, that was what it was.
And even
then you go back to Miami though, and they still couldn't run the ball that well against Miami. And that's what worries me against Alabama. So I am worried about Alabama. I am not writing them off. And they still may be the best team in the country. Certainly they'll be ranked number one unless they lose. But right now when you look at flaws, just look at flaws. You know, Alabama's flaws concern me more than other teams' flaws.
Trevor, what do you think about the SEC West this year? We know Auburn lost to Penn State, but I thought they put up a pretty good fight in Happy Valley, and you say Penn State's second-best team in the country. Ole Miss is lighting up the scoreboard. I mean, they did it to my Louisville Cardinals, but they absolutely put it on Tulane this week. The Lane train, they've got a quarterback in Matt Corral. A&M looked impotent against Colorado with a backup quarterback, but they're a top-10 team. And I would not forget about Arkansas this year because everybody in the SEC wants to go hire that magical coach, and it looks like Sam Pittman is working a miracle in Arkansas. Like for Alabama, it's going to be pretty hard for them to go through the West unscathed.
Really hard. And for different reasons. I mean, we thought that LSU was going to have a huge bounce back year. They are not looking so hot right now.
I would say we did not think that, but yes.
Okay, well, a lot of people thought that. Auburn actually is doing a lot better than I thought they would. I was very impressed with the way Auburn played at Penn State. But Auburn still, you know, they're a team that would be tough for Bama as well, unless Bama shores some things up. Ole Miss is the team I think that is the biggest challenge to them in the West right now. We know that Ole Miss has beaten Alabama multiple times in recent years, and they've done it largely with offense, but now the defense seems to have improved from horrible to decent. And that's all that defense needs to be in order to complement the offense. And plus the defense will have the ability to play with a lead most of the time. So Ole Miss, I think, is the biggest challenge. But I wouldn't count out Arkansas, as you mentioned, Jared, because Arkansas's running game right now is dominant. The passing game is fine. It's good enough. The defense is playing really hard. But if Alabama doesn't get better at stopping the run, if they continue to have attrition with injuries now as depth starts to come up to be starters in certain places, then Arkansas has the ability to pound it right down Bama's throat until Bama forces them to go to the air. And so I'd be concerned about Arkansas if I'm an Alabama fan. But the number one team to worry about in the West is Ole Miss. And so Alabama, you know, the lock that a lot of us thought they would be, I certainly did, coming into the season, that lock no longer exists.
Trevor Maddich with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trev, the Vols knocked off Tennessee Tech. I didn't watch 1 second of that football game. I don't even know what channel it was on, honestly. So they go in 2-1. They dominated the two teams that they were supposed to dominate. They lost a tough one to Pittsburgh. We saw Florida go toe-to-toe with Alabama in the Swamp. Does Tennessee have any chance at beating Florida on Saturday? And if the answer is no, which is what I'm going to assume your answer will be, probably shouldn't do that, but if it is, what would you consider as a moral victory for the Vols on Saturday?
Well, I mean, if they play them within 7 to 10 points, I think that would be something that Volunteer fans would be happy about. But they do have a chance to win this game. Keep in mind that anytime you play Bama, even though Bama's struggling, like we've talked about in different places, they still are a physical team. And that was a very physical, emotional, hard-fought game. And because of that, Tennessee will be a whole lot more fresh, especially coming off that Tennessee Tech opponent. And all they need to do in order to have a chance in this game is hit the open receivers down the field more often than not. That's been the big flaw in this offense. They've had guys open down the field. They hit them once in a while, and it's exciting. But neither Hooker nor Milton has been consistent in hitting those deep passes. And that's got to be the frustrating thing for the coaches, because they practiced all week. They game planned. They got guys open. There he is. The play's going on. He's down the field. He's right there. He's open, and we miss him, right? And so that's the big difference in Tennessee right now, and that's the big question mark as they play Florida. Will they be more accurate in hitting those guys down the field? Because Florida will give them some opportunities early, because Florida, I think, is going to come up and try to stop the run first and make them prove they can throw deep. And if they can, then all of a sudden this might be more of a game than Florida fans want it to be.
Trevor Maddich with us. Trev, I look at college football this year, and I can't get a gauge. It's like the NFL. I always tell people, you know, hey, don't get too caught up in September football, because, yes, the New Orleans Saints embarrassed Green Bay in week one, and then the Saints got embarrassed in week two. Like, it's just, there's too many moving pieces early in the season. Good teams don't know they're necessarily good. Bad teams don't know they're bad. It just kind of feels that way. I watched Louisville play my team against Ole Miss the first week of the season, and I thought we were going to have to fire the entire coaching staff. Then I watched Friday night, and we went on a miracle against Gus Malzahn and UCF, and everybody is loving Louisville football right now. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? How much of that can we take into account with this college football season, and how maybe it's different than last year, the COVID season, because there was more practicing, there was spring ball, there were other things that have made other teams that would allow them to catch up to the sheer talent of an Alabama, an Ohio State, or a Clemson?
You know, Jared, that's a great point, because last year with COVID, there was no spring, right? There was limited summer. You didn't have the ability to develop as much. And so the teams that came in with experienced quarterbacks, consistency with the system, those are the teams that had the advantage. The team that had the greatest talent had the advantage. And the teams that want to catch up with them have to do it with execution. Well, the way you get execution is by tons of practice and excellent practice. There wasn't a chance to have much of any practice last year because of COVID heading up into the season. And so I think that's one of the reasons that you didn't see a lot of teams rise up. This year, it's kind of weird because you have a combination of teams that were at the top last year falling back, but then teams that were in that next tier rising up and just really lighting it up. I mean, Iowa is a great example. Iowa's defense has been phenomenal. Their running game has been devastating. If they were more effective in big plays in the passing game, then I think that this Iowa team would be a team that would be even higher. Right now their passing game's okay, it's getting better, but okay isn't quite enough, right? And so they're working on getting better there, but I didn't think Iowa would be as good as they are right now, and right now they're ranked number 5 by the AP. I have them a little bit higher. Same way with Penn State. Penn State lost their first game, 4 games last year. Then they won 5 in a row. Okay, yay, good for them. But how good would they really be? And we had a real question about their offense. Well, their offense, by the 3rd game against Auburn, started to throw the ball down the field with some effectiveness. And Sean Clifford, at quarterback, was doing a great job. So they're better than I thought that they would be. Part of that is the practice, but I think part of it also is that they just have developed players so well. So the combination of teams like Iowa and Penn State doing better than we expected, certainly better than I expected, thought they'd be good, didn't realize they'd be this good. Combine that with struggles of the likes of Clemson and Oklahoma and, you know, Ohio State, especially Ohio State, for goodness sake. These are things that combine to jumble up and shake up this season, and it makes the rise of the next tier of teams even more dramatic because they're not butting up against the glass ceiling that they normally were butting up against. No matter how much improvement they made, they were still going to get bounced right back down like a whack-a-mole by Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, right? Well, now that's not happening, and that makes that rise look all the more interesting.
Trevor Maddich, ESPN College Football Analyst, joins us every Tuesday. Trevor, appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jared.
Yep, Trevor Maddich, as always, joining us on the program. So normally, Robbie and Rex Road dedicate what percentage, let me turn Caroline's mic back on, what percentage of Robbie and Rex Road's programming would you say is dedicated to something that I say?
A good bit. They like to react to you.
I'd say like 60% of that radio show.
Oh, please.
Is based upon something that I said like the day before or the week before.
No,
or
it
something
is not.
Like that.
60%. Give them a little bit more credit than that.
I am not an attention seeker by any means, nor do I have much of an ego. But I was in the car the other day and I listened to Joe. They did some segment, I forget what it was. And Joe was complaining about something I had said the night before. And then they went to break. And like the first ad was like, hey, it's Jared for the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And then the next was like, hey, it's Jared for my friends at Hiller. And I was like, man, I'm sick of me at this point. Like that is too much. So I am taking something from Robbie and Rex Road. Today, Robbie Stanley had a hot take. A take that is not crazy, but if you said it anywhere outside of Nashville, you would be considered off your rocker. We'll discuss that coming up next. Do you know what it is? Well, you've seen the grid, so you know what it
is. Yes, I know what it is.
But
everyone is going to love it.
I don't know if they know what it is. We'll do that next. First, Caroline, though, wants to tell you about BetUS.
Yes, I have a message for all of the sports bettors out there because my favorite sports book, BetUS, is out there for the taking. Football is back finally, so it's time to get back in on the action. BetUS has been America's favorite sports book for over 25 years, and that is exactly why I endorse BetUS. They have integrity, they have longevity, they've been around, and the most important thing, when you win, you know you're going to get paid, and that is exactly what you get with BetUS. Plus, they offer everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, whatever you want to bet on, whatever crazy bets you want to bet on, they have it on BetUS. So call them today, and they'll walk you through setting up an account. Their number is 1-800-79-BETUS. All you got to do is call that number, 1-800-79-BETUS, and they will help you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. You can get up to 200% in bonuses. So join now, mention GAME, G-A-M-E, and you can get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. BetUS truly is the best in the business. I bet at BetUS, so should you. So go now to BetUS.com, join today, put in promo code GAME for a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. That is BetUS.com.